We did it for the first time last Thursday and we got a little bit of good feedback. So we thought we'd continue on and learn a lot more about our form analysts. They come on the show, they give us some winners and off they go and we don't learn too much about them. We're going to start this morning with Michael Maxworthy. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. Maxie, can I ask you where your interest in racing began?
Well, I was pretty much bitten by the bug when I was about nine, Andrew, but it goes back a little further than that. My grandfather was a jockey. My dad dabbled in training greyhounds as a little bit of a hobby between his jobs. My stepfather, Norm Shin, trained at Warwick Farm, and I think that was probably the turning point for me. I first met Norm when I was nine, and he'd always had between eight and a dozen horses in work at any one time at Warwick Farm, and I couldn't wait for Saturday morning to come around to go down the stables and do the chores, you know, water buckets, taking the horses to the track. And I reckon it was there that I sort of became attached to the horses, and it was just an industry way back then that I wanted to be in.
And what made you get into the media side then? The first time I heard you and met you was when you were doing a similar show to what I do here, and you were doing it for, I don't know what it was called then, Radio TAB as it is now, a racing station in Queensland. What made you go to that part of it?
Well, too big to be a jockey. That was my original intention. Put a big line through that and I thought, what could I do? I grew up out west at Liverpool and I need to brush up a little bit on grammar. So I went to the Max Rowley School of Radio and Television because I wanted to get into the media side of things, and he pretty much knocked the dents out of me. Went to Lithgow, worked there at 2LT for 3 years. Then I applied for that job in Brisbane where I was a race coordinator, a bit like Simon Harrison and the guys. Mm-hmm. And from then I ended up taking over on that all-racing radio station, which was a first in Brisbane. I think it was about, when was it, 1991 or 92 when it all kicked off there. So, went from coordinating the races to being a race caller in Singapore and then back to Sky Racing World back in 2010. So it's been a big circle for me. I started in Sydney and I'm finally back here.
Yeah, you've done a full circle. Do you miss the calling?
I do. It was terrific in Singapore because there was a certain pool of horses and I knew them, you know, like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
Different story here. They come from all over the place and we've got these younger fellas coming through the ranks. They all do a terrific job with their call. Now, I do miss it, and I'd probably still be doing that if I was there, but I'm just happy to get out and about and, you know, have a look at the horses in the mounting yard and hopefully use my experience and find a few winners for our viewers at home.
And on that, this is the main purpose of not only learning a bit more about you, but is there any one or two things that you look for when you're doing your form? Is it video-driven or is it the way the horses look in the yard? What is it?
Oh, look, it's a combination of everything. I mean, nobody gets it right as soon as the gates open. You know, things change fairly quickly. But I like to watch every horse's last start at least. Sometimes I go back two and three. For me, it's all about lowering the risk, Andrew, you know, and having the odds in your favour. And I think, firstly, you've got to learn to trust your eye. You know, have confidence in what you're seeing. And this comes with experience of watching thousands of races. And I think eventually you'll be able to decide simply by looking at a race, looking at that winner, was it visually impressive or not? And by this I mean, you know, does it have a change of gears? Does it have a nice action? Is it a progressive type? That horse that won yesterday for Chris Lees at Warwick Farm called Guard of Honour.
Yeah.
Clearly, anybody that watched that horse yesterday would say, well, that'll go to a Saturday for sure and be more than competitive. So, yeah, trust your eye. You know, I like to bet in sprint races, 1,000 to 1,400. Field sizes of 12 to 14, I think, is ideal. I think barriers win races, and, of course, the all-important speed maps. If you can get them right, I think you're halfway home.
Great to chat, Maxie, to learn more about the way that you prepare for a race day, prepare doing the late mail. We appreciate your time this morning. Keep well.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Maxie. Michael Maxworthy there. Simon Donopoulos is our Friday expert. He works with racing and sports out of Canberra. Morning to you, Simon.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. Are you stats-driven? I ask that in a subtle way because on Friday when you come on, you do have the stats behind you. Do you work more that way?
I think it's definitely important, Andrew. I think, as Maxie touched on, there's a lot of ways you can do form. It's just finding that happy medium yourself. I think stats, for me, they are important. You can sort of tie them in with, like, sort of key switches. I think when you're at the start of doing a meeting or doing the form, I think that's one thing definitely look for. Just look for your key jockey switches. If it's previously a horse that had an apprentice and then now gets a senior jockey, or obviously a lot of strong, you know, the better jockeys have the good strike rates with the better stables, and there's something to definitely keep an eye on. And just any gear changes that your blinkers on first time. But I think really you just got to be able to combine all the different factors that are involved in form and then sort of arrive at your end price and then hopefully you have an edge on the market.
So when you say do form for Saturday, how do you start?
I suppose it starts on Monday, Andrew, really, when the nominations come out. Generally like to sort of go through the nominations and just highlight any horses that sort of catch my eye. I mean, most of the form we do at Racing and Sports is done post-race when we do the rating. So generally our busiest days are on Monday, going back and rating all the races from the weekend. From there, you can highlight a few horses going forward. We usually attach the time form symbol, so a plus or a P. We generally black book those horses. So then, obviously, when they're coming through the ranks, if we think a horse is progressive, we like to stick with them. And on Monday, you sort of go through and find those if there are a few of those horses. And then, obviously, once acceptances come out, then you can sort of go into the form and look at, obviously, the speed profiles and where the horse is likely to settle. But generally, it starts on Monday and then through to Wednesday, and then once the prices come out, you can sort of knock off a few prices if you're lucky enough to get on in time. And then obviously on Saturday, you sort of do it all over again when scratchings come out and just wait for the race day.
Understand. When do you get to the stage of looking at videos? You mentioned time for ratings and things. When do you get to look at videos?
I generally do it, I suppose. I mean, we watch all the races on the day, and then when we're doing the ratings, often you go back. Sometimes if obviously a horse is flopped in the market, you can go back and look at it and just mark it if you know if there's a reason for its poor performance. Generally, sometimes, I mean, videos, you sort of got to trust your eye, but on the other sort of on other occasions, it's then caught to trick you as well. So you got to be careful of that. Obviously, times and stuff is a good way of sort of backing up what you see. For horses, obviously, visually impressive. You want to see them also do that from a times perspective and also margin in the race. So generally like to go back, would look at videos sort of after acceptances and just if you've missed something. I think why it's always important to listen to what other people have. It's always good to hear other perspectives, and sometimes you can get a bit one-eyed when you're doing the form. It's sort of your way or the highway, but it's good to get other perspectives just in case you may have missed something and need to go back and have a look.
And where did your interest in it all begin, Simon?
It all started for me. I was sort of taken along the races by my parents from a very young age. I think Dad owned a lot of slow horses. He didn't have any fast ones, but I always enjoyed going to the races. And then all big turning point for me, I guess, was when I moved to Canberra, went to uni there and got a job at the Canberra Race Club and worked in the judges box. And that sort of reignited my passion for racing. I really enjoyed my time there and really thankful to Peter Stubbs. He gave me the opportunity at Canberra. And from there, sort of met Gary Crisp and ended up, fortunately, at Racing and Sports.
Well, it's been a great ride so far. We love having you on Friday and Saturday mornings. We look forward to doing it again tomorrow morning at around this time to get some tips for Saturday. Appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Andrew. Cheers.
Simon Denopoulos there from Racing and Sports. The last little chat this morning is with Paul Joyce. He's very much a regular here on Sky Sports Radio. He was into My Psychiatrist on Monday, and then yesterday he gave us Halfway to Heaven at about the $7 that got the money. Paul, as I say good morning, it'd be fair to say that you like a bit of value.
Yes, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me this morning. Yeah, look, I do like value. I suppose I differentiate myself a little bit from most other tipsters in that I do take on a lot of favourites and try and go very wide to find some winners at big odds. But that's the way I punt as well. You know, I'm not a huge punter. I don't bet in thousands, but I do bet in hundreds, and a couple of hundred on something at, you know, $12 or $16 can give you a very good collect. And even a small percent of a really big paying quaddie can really, you know, help pay the bills for a while. So I rely on punting to supplement my income, and I take it very seriously.
So are you in the process of waiting for final acceptances, or are you a little bit like Simon said, that you start looking at them from Monday? And when I do this, I'm meaning for a meeting on a Saturday.
Yeah, no, I'm not really like Simon because I don't really pay much attention to nominations at all. I just tend to wait for the acceptances to come out, and I start from scratch there. There's a process I use. Generally what I'll do is once the acceptances are out on a Wednesday for a Saturday, I go through any replays that I need to have a look at. That's the first thing I do. And usually that will be things like barrier trials of horses resuming. In particular, first starters, I'll go back and look at pretty much all of their trials. And any horses that are coming from, say, interstate or overseas, I'll track down their recent replays online and have a look at those. So any New Zealanders coming across, any horses coming up from Melbourne or down from Brisbane, I'll go through and have a look at their at least their last start, if not their last two or three starts. And from that, then I can do a speed map and do a speed profile, as Simon just said. So they're the first two steps I do every Wednesday night heading into Saturday.
How do you, how do you put a speed map together? How do you rate importance of speed maps?
Yeah, look, I think speed, basically, get the pace right, get the race right is the little motto I use. So I do speed maps for every single race I profile. I think it's essential these days because I think it's become more important in the last 10 years than ever before because you do get a lot more slowly run races. I think the quality of jockeys now, you get a couple of really good jockeys on pace runners. Well, they know how important it is to get to the front and slow things up and allow themselves the chance to sprint home. So you've got to identify those races where they could potentially go a bit slower than usual. On the other hand, you can sometimes find races where they're going to go mad in front, and they're the races I really like.
We do a weekly podcast. We did it this morning with Paul. It's now up there that you can go on our Sky Sports Radio webpage and download it and get his early mail for Saturday. But the prospects during winter of wet tracks, do you have the tendency of waiting for race day, or how do you normally play it during the winter?
Yeah, definitely. During winter, I'll almost always wait until race day to see how the track comes up because even this Saturday, we've got forecast of showers on Saturday. So we could be on a soft 5, we could be on a heavy 8, and I don't want to bet early into that. So I won't take any early fixed prices unless there's something at massive overs that I just can't resist. But generally, I'll keep away from that early fixed odds betting and wait until the day. The other thing I'll always do on a Wednesday is do up a set of my own ratings. So I assess every runner, give it a price. And by doing that, what I find is I can find a lot of favourites that are under the odds and it allows me to spot value where other people may not see it. So when people ask me, why do you tip things at $12, $16, or how come they end up winning? They're always surprised that they win. But they don't all win, obviously, but by finding false favourites, it just brings those value runners right out and highlights them for you. So you don't have to go through searching. And you may not have your top pick as the one that I actually give out on radio because a top pick might be $1.50 with the bookies, but I've got it rated $3. And my second pick might be rated $4.50, but it's paying $12.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tip the one that's paying $12 because that's where I see the value.
Yeah, no, I understand. I think many of our listeners have grown to know Paul Joyce and his value, the big V there, particularly on a Saturday morning on Tab Talk. What was that saying? Get the speed right?
Yeah, get the pace right, get the race right. So basically, if you get that speed right, I think you're 90% of the way to getting the result right. So I would suggest to all punters out there, get your form guide, have a look at your comments, do a quick speed map yourself. You can obviously buy them and use other people's, but I find it only takes 5 minutes for each race, and you'll get a rough idea. Look, there are 5 or 6 leaders here. They've all drawn wide. They're going to go quickly. Or you might say the opposite. There's only 1 or 2 on-pace runners here. The leaders might get a picnic. And that winner we found yesterday halfway to heaven, perfect example. Small field, only the one leader. Had a bit of a picnic in front and rolled the odds on favourite. So it's amazing how many more winners you can find if you put the effort in to do a speed map beforehand.
Good on you, Paul. As I say, that podcast for Rosehill on Saturday is there. You can go to our podcast page and download it. It's there every Thursday in preparation for Saturday. Paul, we thank you and we'll talk to you again over the weekend.
Yeah, for sure, Andrew. Thanks so much for having me.
Good on you, Paul. There's 3 of our experts. They've all got different things, but it all comes down to backing a winner. I hope you're learning a little bit about them as we go through them, and we might even do it again next week. We'll wait and see.